coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Don't be a cock about it.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
You didn't want to eat his face?
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie has been rated PG-13 by the Motion Picture Association of America.
Welcome, my friends, to Huntsville Home Video. If you listened last week, you may have heard me get a concussion after I banged my head in disbelief. You could say that I was baffled. I was bewildered. I was dumbfounded, stupefied. I need some other synonyms for just downright flabbergasted.
I'm not giving you any.
Okay, that's fair. As you know, if you have listened to this podcast ever, the theme of the podcast is I like to introduce my good friend Leanne to movies that she has never seen. And there are a lot of movies that she has never seen. Now, we try to switch it up from week to week. We keep it, we do a mainstream movie, and then we kind of switch it up, do like a more obscure flick that maybe not a lot of people have seen. We like to switch it up. Last week, we discovered that Leanne Foster has never seen Gremlins. Now my question is this, as we get into this podcast, this seems like a movie that is directly up your alley.
Exactly.
And how in your 30 years had this one eluded you?
I don't know. No? How do any of them elude me? I don't know.
I mean, that's a fair question. That is an incredibly fair question.
I truly do not know. Because I feel like this is everywhere. I mean, everybody knows this movie. It's literally everywhere.
Literally.
Yeah.
In fact, as much as you love Baby Yoda.
Right.
You would think that Gizmo was the original Baby Yoda.
Yes. I was going to bring that up later. But yes, you're exactly right.
If you could see Leanne's office, Baby Yoda everywhere.
I got Baby Yoda, yeah. I got them Baby Yodes.
You got them Baby Yodes? All about that Grogu.
I'm not there yet.
You're not there yet?
No.
You're still Baby
I'm
Yoda?
I'm still behind.
You're one of those?
Yeah. Okay. No, I haven't watched that yet. I'll accept his name.
Oh, okay.
There are
okay.
people who are not accepting his name. I'm like, I don't care about that. I just haven't made it to that spot in the show yet.
Sorry, spoilers.
Don't give me any spoilers in a podcast about spoilers.
Right? So here we are getting in the Christmas spirit a little early.
Yeah.
By reviewing Gremlins,
mm-hmm.
a Christmas classic, as far as I'm concerned. It makes the Christmas list.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Christmassy, takes place during the holidays.
Right.
It just happens to have, you know, little green monsters terrorizing the town of Kingston Falls. But
right.
Still Christmassy. Santa Claus is in it at one point.
There's snow in there. There's Christmas lights, decorations.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this weekend, in fact, as we're recording this podcast, just moments ago,
yeah.
was your very first time mm-hmm. watching Gremlins. What did you think?
Well, I don't want to disappoint you.
Oh, shit.
But I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swerve.
I don't know how I never saw this movie.
I don't either.
I love it. I love it. It was super good.
Beginning to end?
Beginning to end.
So,
I have no beef with it at all whatsoever.
That's the correct answer.
I felt like it was.
Now, we have talked several movies in the past that we've reviewed, which you can check out at huntsvillehomevideo.com.
Isn't that convenient?
It is.
Apple, Spotify, all the other places.
Yeah.
Whatever they are.
You, so far, True Romance has been your favorite movie.
Yes.
Shoot 'Em Up was another one that you really loved.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Gremlins
Ooh.
Rate?
I feel like I enjoyed this movie more than the other two.
I think
True Romance is probably still my favorite, but this one was more enjoyable. Does that make sense?
It does. I think that this movie was a movie that was made just for the sake of being enjoyed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, I would say True Romance is still my favorite we've ever reviewed, but this was the most fun I had. Watching a movie.
So I will always go back and revisit the movie before, we watch it, just to get it fresh
right.
in my mind. And I've mentioned before, I always like to try to put myself into your head while I'm watching the movie. So last night, as I was watching the movie, I had my dog curled up next to me watching the flick. Like 10 minutes in, and I just said to myself, man, Leanne Foster is going to fucking love this movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is a movie that was almost made specifically for you.
I know. I think so.
Right?
No, you're totally spot on, 100% correct. I literally loved it that much.
This was a movie. It came out in 1985, 84. Okay. Do you know what movie it opened up the same weekend as?
85, 84? Can you give me a hint?
It's a movie that you've actually seen.
I don't know.
I know that narrows it down, right? It opened the same weekend as Ghostbusters.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Could you imagine having to choose between those two movies?
Oh, my God.
Like, two classics opened up on the same weekend.
How did this fare against Ghostbusters?
It made $1 million less than Ghostbusters. It came in second place, but Ghostbusters went on to make more money. The movie itself, Gremlins, a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
It went on to make over $100 and some odd million, which, you know, in 1984, that's huge money.
Right.
Actually did well in foreign markets as well.
Wow.
And one of the things that they did in foreign markets was they had to, you know, they had to redub, obviously, all the dialogue and everything. Mm-hmm. And the voice of Gizmo, did you catch who that was?
No.
Howie Mandel.
No shit!
Yeah, he was the voice of Gizmo.
Wow.
So he actually had to learn how to say all these other, you know, like bright light. He had to learn how to say that in, like, German, in Spanish. And so he just recorded all the dialogue for Gizmo in multiple different languages.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So a huge success. We did eventually get Gremlins 2, which is a complete 180 from what Gremlins is.
Do you like it for that, or do you not like it?
I do.
Okay.
I don't think audiences were ready for it because it's basically a parody of Gremlins.
Oh.
It's very interesting. Joe Dante was back for it, and Joe Dante, the director, he said that he actually likes Gremlins 2 more than the original.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Joe Dante also said he doesn't know how Gremlins was a success. Like, he was handpicked by Steven Spielberg to direct the movie.
Okay.
And the original tone of the movie was much darker. There were scenes, they were never shot, but in the original script, like when the mom is fighting the gremlins, the gremlins win and, like, throws her decapitated head at Billy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that was a thing that happened. At one point in the script, Gizmo did not make it out.
Oh.
Steven Spielberg is like, nope, make him cuter. He lives.
Right.
Like, he is going to be marketed the shit out of.
Exactly.
We're going to sell gizmos forever.
We need cute little animals to stay alive to market them.
And oh my God, did they ever.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
That movie, I was six when that movie came out.
Okay.
My older cousin actually brought me to see that one. And yeah, shortly after that movie came out, gizmos as far as the eye could see. Just everywhere with the gizmo.
And then they turned into Furbies in the 90s.
And they turned into Furbies, and then it came full circle. They made a gizmo Furby.
Did they really?
They did.
No shit.
That's a thing.
Oh, I had the pink one. Creepy AF, those things were.
When those things came out, the Furbies came out, they were as hot as PlayStation 5s are right now.
Mm-hmm.
You would have people fighting each other in a Toys R Us for one.
Mm-hmm.
I may or may not have leveraged my position at the radio station to acquire one.
Look at you.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So we actually, me and another radio buddy, got in good with the manager at a Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm.
We acquired a Furby. We tried to get two of them because, you know, they communicate with each other. But we could only get the one, and we played with it for like a week, and then it just sat in the radio station until, I don't know, someone probably just, like, threw it away.
Poor Furby.
Poor Furby.
Did you have him on the air? Like,
we did, yeah. Okay. We tried to get him on the air. We tried to get him to say stuff, but it didn't. The Furby, as you probably remember, didn't work as well as it should have.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, it was a lot of shaking the Furby on the air.
And I was a lonely only child, so I didn't have, my Furby didn't have a Furby to communicate with, so we both just sat there looking at each other.
Aww.
Me yearning for some kind of connection. Nothing.
What kind of adventures did you go on with your Furby?
I mean, we played dress up. I took it out and Took it on the swing set. We had tea parties.
Did you? Yeah.
That's why my dog hated me, because I would make him do it too.
Did you have a Tamagotchi as well?
I did.
Yeah.
It just kept dying.
Oh.
It's terrible. But yeah, Furby went with me everywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, because you would have been, what, like 7, 8 when the Furby came out?
Sure. Yeah.
Right around there?
Yeah.
Man, I wanna have a TV series about the adventures of Lily and her Furby. Lily and Furby.
Just Lily, the only kid, is quite an interesting child. It's like, no wonder my mom was like, this one's not right. Like, for the longest time.
I think maybe if your mom would have sat you down and showed you Gremlins, you might have been
maybe
more well-adjusted.
Not the crate baby you see before you.
Right. But then we wouldn't have this amazing podcast.
That's true.
So let's talk about the Christmas classic Gremlins. Let's get right into it, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. What were you thinking, like, right as it started out? You know, you get Rand Pelser, the dad, who's walking through Chinatown. He kind of gives the intro. He gives you a little setup.
Right. He's got a story to tell.
He's looking for a gift for his son, Billy.
Right.
Right away. What were you like immediately kind of just like, all right, I'm in for this, or were you a little?
I didn't know what to expect. Okay. I was a little skeptical. I was like, oh no, we're back in Chinatown again. We know how that went for me before.
I thought we weren't talking about that.
But I felt like you were going to bring it up.
If you want in on that conversation, Big Trouble in Little China is a review where our friendship almost ended. You can check it out at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
Yes, you can. No, I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know if it was all going to be in Chinatown. Like, I wasn't sure. Because, again, I don't read up on the movies before I watch
them.
Were
you just like, oh, shit, here comes the sorcery?
I was like, okay, interesting. Now I know that gremlins come from sorcery. Son of a bitch. But, no, we meet him, who is our narrator. He's got a story to tell. And I think he's also trying to peddle his inventions. He's an inventor.
He is.
Too.
Not a great inventor.
Not a great inventor. God love him. So he's in Chinatown, and he ends up getting dragged down to the store, which you go down the stairs by this kid, and... and then all of a sudden he's in this store with all these cool different things. And then, Lopan shows up.
Lopan. Wow. That is incredibly racist.
No, that's not racist.
You've just.
No, I didn't know. I didn't say because of that. He kind of looked like Lopan.
Oh, now you're saying that they all look
alike? Oh, shit. Now we get canceled.
You get canceled.
No.
I'm not the racist.
Oh, son of a bitch. All right, we'll edit this out.
No, we won't.
You know what I meant? I meant it as a joke. We were talking about... Son of a... Shit. Fuck you.
Chops busted, good friend. Chops busted.
Damn it. Anyways, he's in this shop, and he meets the nice shop owner, who's a very good individual, seems very nice, a nice man.
Now you're just patronizing.
I don't know what he's... I don't know. he's trying to battle his invention. It's is the bathroom buddy? Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It squirts the toothpaste on him. Like, oh, you're in a meeting and you didn't brush your teeth. Oh, my gosh.
It's like the Swiss Army knife for bathroom accessories.
Absolutely. So while he's talking about his invention to the very nice man behind the counter... he's hearing this chirping, and he finds what's called a mogwai.
Which, in Cantonese, means devil.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either. But it's super cute. Super duper cute.
What was the noise that you made when you first... Because I know you've seen Gizmo in different things, but what was the noise that came out of your mouth when you saw him in this movie?
I think it was like such a girl, like, oh my God! That's the signature. Oh my God, he's so cute!
That's about what I expected.
That's literally what came out of my mouth. Yeah, I'd seen pictures of him, but I don't think I ever really knew how he moved. And how he blinked,
okay.
And like how he kind of moved around. So I'd never seen him as cute as I'd seen the picture of him. So, and also I thought that was a gremlin. I mean, they are gremlins, but I thought that was like the actual gremlin. They become gremlins.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was the gremlin. I was very confused.
So gremlin is actually a term that was not originated in this movie.
Right. No.
Okay. You're aware of that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So he tries to buy it for $200. The guy will not take it. He says, with Mogwais come great responsibility. You can't handle it. But the grandson, the kid who dragged Rand, who drags Rand in there, makes like a backdoor deal, essentially, you know, like, hey, okay, here,
little hustler.
He gets the money himself and he gives him the Mogwai and three rules. They're very important. Three rules. Jack Spade.
Don't get them wet.
Don't get them wet. Keep them out of the light and do not feed them after midnight.
Seems simple.
It doesn't seem simple.
You don't think so?
No, I heard those rules and I went, that's not simple at all.
How is that not simple?
That's not simple. Water? Water's fucking everywhere.
Yeah, just keep them away from it.
Light? Light's fucking everywhere.
I mean, not in my house.
Did that?
We're some night walkers in our house. If sunlight comes creeping in before noon, we're like,
It just seems very, very tough to me. Of course, I like open windows.
That's fair.
Okay. Yeah. No, that seems tough.
A gizmo, probably not for you.
A Mogwai was not for me.
Yeah.
So then we have this deal happen, and then we cut to the quintessential Christmas town. We get to meet the Christmas tree farmer whose yep. son is dressed as the Christmas tree to sell the Christmas trees, who
was Corey Feldman.
We also meet the rockin' Ricky Rialto, yeah. the radio guy. I always wanted a fun name. Never got a fun name in radio.
No, it's not too late. You can switch it up.
I mean, I could find something, yeah. but rockin' Ricky Rialto is pretty damn clever.
I love the billboard that they have him on too, like
it's
done
Indiana
up like
Jones.
Indiana Jones. You ever been on a billboard in your radio career?
Yes.
Have you really?
I have.
Nicely done.
You have, I'm sure.
No.
What?
Part of me just doesn't want to.
I didn't want to either, but I was just told from the powers that be that's what we were going to do for the show. And then that was all we got for like a little bit. And then I think our trade ran out.
Now, full disclosure, I have never actively tried to get myself on a billboard. I never said like at any radio station, like, ooh, I want to be on this billboard.
No, me neither.
But if management came to me and said, Jack, we're putting you on a billboard, I would come up with some clever shit and I would love to be on one.
You would have the best billboard I would ever see in radio.
It would just be like a parody of the Rockin' Ricky Rialto.
100%, as it should.
Right?
Yeah. No, I believe in you on that one. So we meet then Billy, which is Rand's son. Billy reminded me at first because his damn car won't run. And because if there's anything you know about me, my car just won't fucking run sometimes.
So already you're putting yourself, like you're associating with the main character.
100%. Already am. We meet just a bunch of people here. We meet the snow plow driving neighbor.
Oh, Mr. Futterman.
Yes.
I want Mr. Futterman as a neighbor.
100%. I do too.
Like, that is a dude I would love to live next to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And you know that as you get to know him more, like, if you live next to him outside of this movie, he would probably say some truly racist shit.
Yeah. He doesn't trust anything that's not American.
Nope.
Talking about his time in World War II. He probably would have said something worse than my little faux pas earlier that you wanted to point
worse.
Out. Yeah, way worse. I was just trying to be funny.
But he seems like he would be a good dude, like, just
he'd
living next
shit.
To. He'd keep an eye out for everything.
If something went wrong, like, you could be able to, he'd help you. Like, he'd be watching around. Yeah, he'd be a great neighbor to have.
I used to live across the street from a dude that was kind of like a bad version of that.
Okay.
He was in everyone's business, but he did keep an eye out on everything. So, like, when no good nicks were coming into the neighborhood, he was the first to know about it. He was always standing outside his driveway. In fact, when I moved into that house, like the day that I closed on it, I was super excited and I drove up to the new spot and
uh-oh.
I pulled into the driveway and he was out there at like 11 in the morning, just having a beer, chilling out, sees me pull up. And I lived in an area that was all duplexes.
Okay.
And they were all this. So it's cookie cutter houses, basically. Right. And I accidentally, my first time there, I pulled into the wrong parking or the wrong driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, shit. I back up. I pull into the correct driveway.
That doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good. But I get out and here's dude across the street. Yeah, I saw that. And I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? And he goes, yeah, hey, how's it going? I'm Tom. Welcome to the neighborhood. Your neighbor lives on the other side of you. He's a fucking asshole. You're not going to like him. ladies that live across the street from, or across the way from you, I don't know. They might, I don't know if they're lesbians or what they are. But and so right away, I'm just like, oh, shit. I literally just met this dude a second ago. He's telling me the neighborhood's business.
I love it.
And that was how it was for the next 10 years.
I love it, though. You keep on their good side. It's right. All good.
I had a buddy that lived with us. He rented a room in the basement, and he was, you know, he worked out a lot. So he would go running around our circle.
Mm-hmm.
He had his headphones on one day, and Tom and some buddies were sitting out in the driveway. And so he's running along, and the music kind of died in his headphones so he could hear what they were saying. And as he ran past, Tom was like, yeah, he plays football for the college. No, he doesn't. He did not play football for the college. That was just something that he assumed. Decided to let him know that he... You know,
that's great.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah, so a neighbor like Mr. Futterman would be all right.
My dad, he lives at the first house where you go in. They live on a lake in Alabama, and they're the first right there on the corner when you drive into the neighborhood. And if there's a car that he doesn't recognize, he's like, I'm going to go get on the mule and check it out. They got one of those Kawasaki mules, and it's like, he has to get on it and go drive down. What you looking for, son?
You lost?
You lost? You looking for somebody? I'm just like, oh, shit. I call my dad the mayor down there. He's just like, get on the mule. My fucking knees hurt. Let me get on the mule.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, goodness. I love it. No, those are the best. So back to
Gremlins.
Back to Gremlins. Billy's late for work with his dog Barney, who's adorbs.
Love
as
Barney.
Well. So they run down through the town. You know, one of those just amazing little small towns. Everybody knows everybody. You're running through to work. And he works at the bank. So he gets there. He ties Barney up under the counter, which was awesome. We meet his little crush, Kate, I believe was her name.
God's perfect woman.
When she adorbs.
Phoebe Cates. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's Phoebe Cates.
That's
okay.
Phoebe Cates.
Okay.
I love Phoebe Cates.
Uh-huh.
Like Phoebe Cates and Scarlett Johansson. It is a constant struggle in my life over which one I love more. I lean towards Phoebe Cates because, I mean, you've met my wife, Rachel, and I've told Rachel this, like,
right.
She exhibits a lot of Phoebe Cates qualities.
Okay. Okay.
That was one of the first things that immediately attracted me to my now wife.
There you go.
Before I even said a word to her. Like, I still remember the first day she walked into work, when we worked together.
Aww.
She walked in, and I was like, oh my God, that's Phoebe Cates. And I said something slightly more vulgar than, I'm going to marry the shit out of her someday.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's adorable, Jack.
Phoebe Cates, God's perfect woman.
So you meet Phoebe Cates, and then who do we meet? Mrs. Deagle.
Ugh.
Oh, just a wretched old woman walking through the town. And I had heard the exchange of good morning, and she's like, what's so good about it? You know, I didn't know where that originated from, so I guess that's from Gremlins.
Maybe.
So I'd seen that, just mean, and she's walking in with a snowman head, and she goes, cuts in front of everybody in the line, sits it down in front of Billy, and says, your dog broke my whatever it was snowman.
Imported Bavarian
yes.
snowman.
Some bullshit, whatever, and is like, I want your dog. I'm going to take it to a kennel where it can get a slow death. And then she says, or I'll steal it. And I'll, what was it? Put it on high heat.
She was going to put it on high heat in the spin cycle.
And what I love is the guy next to her is like, that'll do it.
That'll do it. Evil bitch.
Evil bitch. So the Barney comes out from behind the desk and bites her, you know, and of course she's like, oh, I have a weak heart, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, fucking, ugh.
Fucking bitch.
Hate Mrs. Deagle. And you know, you didn't really know, like, kind of what movie you were getting into, but typically when you see a character like that in a movie, you're like, you are going to die a horrible death.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait for it. I am counting down the minutes until you just get eviscerated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that all happens. It's a commotion, whatever. So then we cut to Billy's at a bar, and he's making his comics? Doesn't he like to do comics or whatever?
He likes to draw.
Yeah. And then that smug vice president banking bastard comes in and was like, guess who almost filed for unemployment today? You know, almost you, which is literally how I feel in radio every day. It's like, guess who almost filed for unemployment today? Me.
Usually us. typically
right?
us.
Again, putting yourself into the main character. That's what I did this movie. You know, and he's just being a real wise ass. You find out Kate works there extra hours, and he's basically making fun of them because they have to work for a living.
Right.
Essentially.
He's one of those like real douchey, you know, young go-getters. Not saying that there's anything wrong
no.
with being a young go-getter. Like, aspire to be something great. Have a side hustle, like hone your craft, but don't be a cock about it.
Right. I hate and love that word. I love how you used it. It was really good. Yeah, so he's just a pompous asshole, and he basically says to Billy, like, well, you're the one who's supporting your whole family.
Right.
Basically talking about how his dad's a loser because his inventions aren't that great.
I also love how in and this is just a sign of the times, like how it, when he's hitting on Kate, he's like,
yeah.
You got to come check out my new apartment. I got cable.
Yes, I loved that.
That used to be a pickup line. Hey, right. Girl, what's up? You want to come see some cable? I got MTV.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. That's hilarious. So then we cut to Billy going home, and he offers to help his mother cook or whatever, and he has to deal with all these inventions that are throughout the house. And you realize just how bad of an inventor he is when we get to the egg machine, which is, what are they just supposed to break eggs? Which is like, it's too hard to do on its
right.
own.
It's you the know? Easiest task in the kitchen.
Dink, dink, dink. Like, yeah. That's all you got to worry about.
Right.
And of course, you know, all the eggs fall out. And it's just a mess.
That to me, though, has always struck me as a very 80s thing. There were always so many gadgets
uh-huh.
that they were selling in the 80s
uh-huh.
That, you know, like the Ron Popeil. I'm not sure if you're familiar
oh,
with that
what's
guy.
That?
Ron Popeil was this inventor. He created like the food dehydrator. He created spray-on hair for people that were balding.
I'm sorry. Spray-on hair?
Oh, yeah. That was a legit thing.
Ron
Popeil.
Popeil. Oh, I'm looking him up. Oh, this guy.
Oh, that guy. You've
seen him?
I've
seen him before. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, like in the 80s, there were so many gadgets.
The rotisserie thing.
Yeah. Like, he was always on some sort of infomercial trying to hawk some wares. Very, very Rand Pelser kind of dude.
Right.
And the 80s in general were just like a very gadget-heavy time.
Okay.
Like even more so than now.
Mm-hmm.
Like now it's all like apps and widgets.
Right.
But, you know, it wouldn't be uncommon to, you know, see like random stupid inventions in someone's kitchen like
okay,
that.
Okay. Well, this was a random stupid invention.
It was,
sure.
Yeah.
So the dad comes back from the trip and he gives Billy the Mogwai. So adorable! And he named him Gizmo! If I ever own a pet again, I will name it Gizmo.
Just
like this movie.
Like Gizmo, the Mogwai just checking all your boxes.
Oh my God, he's adorable. I want one so bad. So his name is Gizmo. And of course, you know, they go to take a picture and the picture flash scares him and he's so cute.
No.
Oh, he's so adorable. And then, you know, Billy's playing with it and it's vocalizing with the little, you know, on the keyboard thing. Oh my God, it was so adorable. I couldn't even I just want to like eat it. It was so cute. You know, have you ever just wanted to bite something in its face because it was just so damn adorable?
Never.
I want to bite Vic on the face just because he's so adorable.
Well,
like, I'm just like, I want to eat you.
Guess who is never going to be around my dog again? Jesus.
Is there somebody out there who knows what I'm talking about?
Like, I have seen downright, like, when the first time I saw my dog, I was like, oh my God, that's going to be my best friend forever. The last thought that went through my head was, I'm going to bite him in the face.
You didn't want to eat his face?
No. Absolutely not, you fucking weirdo. I think this now explains a lot why you hung out with a Furby in the days of your youth.
I didn't try to eat my Furby's face.
Well,
I've never tried to eat anything's face. I'm just saying, like, you know, like, oh, I could gobble you up.
Mm.
That kind of cute.
You're a weird, weird person.
Who knew today was going to happen this way?
You're right.
So anyway.
Moving on.
Moving on. Gizmo is just this sweet, well-mannered little Gizmo. That's what he is.
One of many puppets that was created for this movie.
Right.
Gizmo, you know, like, not a time when CGI was super popular, no. So everything was a practical effect. The Gizmo puppet was actually so good that, I mean, the reaction that you see from Barney the dog was a real reaction, because the dog thought it was like a real thing and was right. Like, what the fuck is this?
It was very real, because I knew the that it was puppets.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very surprised at how realistic it did look.
So, and this is, like, I love the stupid things that Hollywood has done
right.
in the past, even in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done some truly stupid shit. Would you like to know, before they were puppets, what the Gremlins were?
Yes.
They were monkeys with gremlin heads on. That was the first attempt at the gremlin. When they were trying to figure out how they were going to do this, they put a spider monkey in a gremlin suit,
uh-huh.
and then they put the head on, and it freaked the fuck out, as a spider monkey probably should.
So this wasn't just a test. They literally thought that was what was going to be in the movie, that they could dress monkeys up and be these characters in movies.
Correct.
Holy shit, Jack.
Correct.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right.
So the way that the story goes, they did this test for Joe Dante, the director.
Uh-huh.
You know, they had the spider monkey come in. They had the gremlin suit on. Then they put the head on, and the thing literally started flipping the shit out,
uh-huh.
like started tearing the office apart, shitting all over the place. And then he started yelling at the trainers. Like, he's like, get the fucking head off the monkey. Get the monkey out of here. He's freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trainer leaves with the monkey. And then Joe Dante just turned to Steven Spielberg and said, so puppets?
That's great.
Puppets.
Although it sounds like it did a really good job being an actual gremlin.
Right? I mean, that's exactly what the gremlins did.
I mean, you know that monkey's like back in the cage going, shit, man, I read the character wrong, I guess.
Right. What's my motivation here? I thought I
did it justice.
I thought I was supposed to shit and tear things up and flash my junk to people.
Damn. Oh, gosh, that's great. So we cut to the next day. Again, another invention, the orange juice invention. That was really funny in the kitchen. And then old Corey Feldman comes in
yeah.
dressed as a tree to deliver the tree, which I thought was so funny. I don't know why that was so funny to me. But so he goes in to deliver the tree, and Billy shows him the Gizmo. Shows Gizmo to him and how cute he is. And, of course, Feldman. What's his name in the movie? I don't even remember.
Pete.
So Pete goes to hold the gremlin, but what does he do? He spills his cup of water there that had paintbrushes and stuff in it.
And if you remember rule number one, never get them wet.
Right. Which I said, you know what? Water's everywhere. And it is.
Well,
tough rule.
Yeah.
It's a tough rule.
I mean, I would have had the foresight to go, let me get this jar of water the fuck out of my way. But, you know, it's a movie, and if you don't get them wet, then we don't have the gremlins.
First thing in your house, the gremlin would have gotten into Vic's water dish.
And
you'd have had mayhem within 10 seconds.
I would have put the water dish up.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I do.
Okay.
Because I'm a responsible pet owner.
Okay. No, I would have had a problem. Mine would have gotten in the toilet, and we'd have had a major, major malfunction. So Gizmo gets wet. And then he starts to butt off. He just shoots out these balls of fur. And guess what they turn into? Other little gizmos. But they're not as sweet as Gizmo.
Nope.
No, they aren't.
You can immediately tell that they're going to be dicks.
Yeah, they're going to be super big dicks. So they're kind of mean. But they've like destroyed the Christmas tree, I think, you know. Isn't Gizmo over there like playing the little...
Yeah, he's sitting there just
ornament.
Like playing a trumpet, hanging out with Barney.
Yeah.
And Stripe, the leader, is just sitting there playing like a little miniature Donkey Kong with all
yeah.
the other assholes gathered around. And then Stripe just hocks a big old loogie at him.
Oh, it's so mean. So the dad gets the idea. He's like, every kid needs one of these. You know, they don't see the potential danger here.
Right.
You know, although we've just multiplied by five or six or whatever.
Because Rand is always looking for that next big thing. He wants
to
turn it into the Pelzer pet.
Exactly. That night, poor old Barney is howling, and Billy finds him tangled up in the hanging from the Christmas lights, which you can hear the little Mogwais, you know, like talking like they're the ones who did it. They tied old Barney up, but they think it's Deagle. So the dad says, you know, I'm going to take him to your grandmother. So they get rid of the dog. You know, they go off with the dog. Billy takes Gizmo to the school. Is the school, right?
Well, it wasn't Gizmo. He brought
one of the other ones. Yeah. Yeah, took one of the other ones to the school to show off to
the science teacher.
Science teacher puts a thing, puts a drop of water on him, and he procreates. He buds off himself. So the teacher wants to run some tests on him. So Billy stops by the bar to where Kate works. And this is really funny because Kate's trying to get the drunk neighbor.
Getting Mr. Futterman out.
And Mr. Futterman is talking, you know, he drives his plow everywhere. He has a snow plow that he drives everywhere. And he's talking about gremlins, about how in WWII, World War II, they used to put gremlins in everything. They were putting them in cars and machines. And so it's like, oh, a little interesting commentary about gremlins.
A quick side note, you grew up in a small town. Did you ever see anyone driving like farm equipment?
100%.
Yeah,
all the time.
That was the thing.
When I was growing up in Florida, what you may not know is where we were at, we used to go out into the Everglades a lot. That was before, you know, environmentalists were like, oh, you're killing gators and shit. There's a special kind of bacteria that lives in the Everglades in the swamp. You can't be out there. You're tires. But we used to go out to the woods a lot on swamp buggies. And so everybody drove a swamp buggy back when I was a kid, you know? So we saw a lot of those.
It was in the frozen tundra of North Dakota. It was snowmobiles.
Ah.
People would drive their snowmobiles up to bars and then, you know, drive their...
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, super fucking brilliant to get on a snowmobile in 30 below wind chill weather drunk as fuck. No one ever died doing that, he said sarcastically.
See how redneck I am? I'm like, oh, that's a brilliant idea.
Right. Yeah.
I've seen people take horses to bars. I mean, you know. That's where I grew up.
I was really glad too in this movie that Kate suggested that Mr. Futterman walked home and didn't drive his tractor drunk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because in movies in the 80s, like, I mean, you could smoke in front of babies.
Yeah.
You could drive drunk. It didn't fucking matter.
Right.
So like, at least Gremlins had the foresight to be like, you know what, Mr. Futterman, you racist, lovable asshole. Like, don't be a drunk driver, too.
Right.
That's a beautiful night. I'm going to walk home.
Exactly. So then they have this really cute thing where he walks her home and Billy asks her out on a date and sees when she's free. And then we cut to the science teacher, which was a little creepy, you know, him with like the needle, you know, going to get blood from the gremlin or the Mogwai. It's like Pokemon. He's not evolved yet.
he hasn't reached his final form.
Right. So he gets blood from the Mogwai. Then we go back to Billy's house and the Mogwai are getting a little rowdy while Gizmo's just super sweet in bed reading his comics. So Billy goes down to feed them some food because it's like 11:40 or something.
It's not midnight yet. You can still feed them.
Right. You can still feed them. Which in my mind, I'm like, well, what if they hold a piece of food in the box until it is midnight and then they eat it? Then we have a problem. Like, I overthought it.
So super funny that you say that because, you know, I mentioned earlier that Gremlins 2 is basically a parody of not only Gremlins, but just kind of sequels in general.
Okay.
That topic comes up. There is like a whole segment in Gremlins 2 where they're like, well, what? I mean, it's always midnight somewhere. What about time zones? What if a Mogwai is flying and it passes a time zone and what if it gets a sesame seed stuck in its tooth and it comes out? Like, what the fuck? So there is a scene that, you know, that basically says how bullshit the rules are.
Okay, good
Gremlins.
Deal.
Yeah.
I literally thought of time zone too.
Yeah.
Because at first I believed the 11, the, you know, before midnight thing, but I'm like, what time zone did he buy them in, and what time zone are they now? Does it matter?
We almost should have done Gremlins 1 and 2 back to back, so you could have just went right in and be like, I fucking thought that!
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
So Billy goes to get him chicken, and they just devour the chicken. There's bones flying everywhere, blah, blah, blah. Well, then you realize that it was not 11:40, somebody had cut the wire.
Yeah, because Billy wakes up the next morning, and what in the actual fuck?
There's these gross alien pods.
They've cocooned up, and Billy calls his mom up, and she's like, well, did you feed him after midnight, you dumb son of a bitch?
one? No. And then you look, and they've Stripe, who's the leader, has got them to cut the cord. Yeah,
they
the
chewed
alarm
the wire
clock.
On the clock.
They chewed the wire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So and also there's one at the school because the scientist had one, and it's in a pod as well. So they're in pods. Same thing happens at the lab, and the scientist is like, they're in the pupa stage or whatever, you know, it's going through changes, which I think this is where Pete goes, like, going through changes like my mother, which was super fucking funny. And then as something would in a pod, it starts to hatch.
Mm-hmm.
It's really gross too. The really good effects on it, I thought. Very alien-esque. So just as the bell rings, you know, this thing is starting to hatch, and the teacher calls Billy. Billy rushes over, and it gets out. Also, the ones hatch at the house. The poor mom has to battle
she's just sitting there baking some Christmas cookies, which look delicious.
Oh my God, did you not want gingerbread?
So yeah.
I am hankering. Let me repeat that. Hankering for some damn gingerbread. And I never do, but I was like, God damn it, those look good.
I mean, they looked fresh. The frosting looked on point.
They looked so cute. I just wanted to eat its face.
Shut the fuck up. You can say that about a cookie. When you say it about a dog, you're a fucking weirdo.
There's somebody out there who knows what I mean.
And I guarantee you that person
is a
weird.
Weirdo.
Yeah. That's the type of person that's probably married to a sex doll.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You just equated me to that?
Well, I mean, you're not there yet.
Well, you're stuck with me, so. You should have figured this out before we started this damn podcast.
You know what? I support your right to marry a sex doll if
no,
you so desire.
No.
All I ask is that I get to be the best man for that wedding.
Well, only if they approve.
Right.
I'll ask.
Yeah. You got to respect their wishes,
I'll put in
too.
A good word, but it is they're their own person.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Understood. Understood.
Ew, I feel like So I love how after it hatches, like, it's very kind of Chucky-esque. And I don't know what came first, what movie came first, but
this one came first by like quite a few years, a couple years at least.
So you know how they're like, where you can hear it running around and you can like see its little shadow, but you can't see it. It was actually kind of creepy in the, you know, running around the school.
I think that this isn't a fact. This is just my opinion on things. But when Jaws came out, it very well known how the mechanical shark never worked.
Right.
So, I mean, that shark originally was supposed to be seen in like almost every frame of the movie.
Yes.
But it looked like shit. So they tried to cover it up as much as they could, mm-hmm. inadvertently creating a masterpiece.
Making it a lot better.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when practical effects were how you had to make a movie, I think that's how you covered up.
Right.
Shoddy effects work, like,
yes.
you only caught glimpses, you caught like flashes, mm-hmm. like you created the monster in your own head,
which is so much better.
Agreed, because now everything is CG and you're just like, look at the fucking mm-hmm. monster, and you're like, and we're all numb to it.
Yeah. So it's running around and he's trying to coax it with a candy bar, and he sticks his hand underneath the desk and it starts eating the candy bar, but then it starts eating a lot else, I guess. Then we cut to Billy, who makes his way into the classroom, discovers that the science teacher, he's laying on the floor and there's a needle in his ass.
Yep.
It was like, okay, well, he must have been salty about the needle.
He must have been a little salty about that.
Super salty about the needle. And the gremlin has now escaped into the air vents. Looking very different than the original Mogwai.
Oh yeah,
stage.
These are some evil looking motherfuckers.
Evil and gross looking thing. The ones at the house have wreaked havoc. They put poor little Gizmo in the laundry chute.
Yeah,
and they're wreaking havoc in the kitchen. The mom goes to investigate with a knife, and she, like, what was that, a blender that she got one in?
She had, like, a little food mixer or whatever. She sees the first one in the kitchen just eating all those cookies that she spent so much time on.
Yes, devouring their faces.
Yep.
So it's eating in the gingerbread. She gets it in this thing, and then she, the one starts throwing plates at her. She gets it with a knife. Like, this was more intense than I thought it was going to be.
So this movie actually was kind of responsible for the invention of the PG-13 rating.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
The movie came out and it was rated PG for a week.
Right.
And people were, you know, oh my God, this was intense. This was, what the fuck was this? And then Steven Spielberg was like, maybe we should make it PG-13, like, mm-hmm. you know, encourage older, like, teenagers right. to see it instead of, like, bringing a five-year-old to
right,
it.
Right, exactly. Not that it was crazy, but it just was not, again, not what I expected.
It was
a surprise.
It was a little intense. This was also kind of the first movie that that started the wave of blending horror and comedy.
Okay.
Many movies would follow this formula after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Ghostbusters came out the same weekend. They kind of did that to a certain degree as well. There were some like darker elements blended with like just some truly slapstick comedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she gets another one in the microwave, which was really funny. Like mom's great. Doing really good against these, you know, monsters.
Just wrecking house.
Yeah. So mom's got three of them. Then there's one in the Christmas tree. It attacks and it's strangling her. But luckily, Billy gets home in time and bats it into the fire, which was really funny. But Stripe is loose.
Stripe,
he gets loose.
The badass leader.
The mohawked leader of the Gremlin group, which was super. I love that he had a mohawk.
Right.
Like, again, super comical, but super great.
Stripe was also voiced by a dude named Frank Welker.
Okay.
And Frank Welker is a legend in the world of voiceover. Like I mean, you know me, I love cartoons. I love Transformers.
Yeah.
Frank Welker was the voice of Megatron in the G1 cartoon. He was also the voice of the Transformer Soundwave.
Uh-huh.
He was also the voice of Fred in Scooby-Doo. He was also the voice of countless other, like, critters, creatures. Like, the dude can do stuff with his voice that is fucking incredible.
Okay.
Like, if you look up just, like, all the works of Frank Welker, you will go, holy shit. This dude has done everything. This dude can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still kicking today, like still an amazing talent.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't originally Megatron in the Transformers movies,
mm-hmm.
But he later came on to take over the role. He's the voice of Megatron for the Transformers ride.
Mm-hmm.
Love that dude. Like, fascinated by what he can do with his voice. And he was the voice of Stripe.
Oh, precious.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you fanboying again.
Right?
So good.
so good. So, such a good little
such
nerd.
Such a good nerd. So Stripe escapes. Billy takes his mom to the doctor's house, and then he goes back to theirs. He finds Gizmo in the little laundry chute.
Yeah.
Again, Gizmo is so goddamn cute. Anyway,
so, when you see them all busted up, are you just like, oh my God, my heart
baby.
Can't take it.
So Billy and Gizmo set out to find Stripe, and they're following his creature prints, his paw prints, whatever you want to call them, and it leads them to the YMCA. Stripe went to the YMCA, and he jumps in the pool. Oh, shit. Mm-mm. That's a lot of water and a little gremlin.
Uh-huh.
And things are boiling and bubbling and toil and trouble and blah, 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 blah. And then you hear all these little voices and stuff. You realize we've really procreated now.
Yeah.
So Billy goes to the police station to get help. And of course, they're very skeptical. And then you cut to, which was such a cool shot, I thought. I don't know how they did this. But if they didn't have CGI, but like it's that dark street,
yep.
and then you've got the lights right in front.
And see Stripe coming out.
You see Stripe coming out of the darkness, and then all of them are following him out of
hundreds
the darkness.
Hundreds of them just walking down Kingston Falls Main Street.
Did you not hear Ride of the Valkyrie, whatever that song is? Oh, God, it was so great. It was such a cute shot.
What, now, backing up to a second when Billy's at the police station, the cops are, like, super skeptical. That's almost, like, a trope in these kind of movies
yes.
where you go to some sort of authority figure mm-hmm. and no one believes you.
No one.
And now, I know that when you say, like, well, why didn't you just do this thing and then that wouldn't have happened? Because then you wouldn't have had the fucking movie.
Right.
But wouldn't you love to just see a movie where you go to the cops and they're like, hey, these fucking creatures are attacking. We need to fucking mobilize. And the cops are just like, all right, motherfucker, let's go.
we're fucking ready.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that would be awesome, too, because then you'd have, like, cops shooting it out with gremlins.
Oh, my God.
You get the National Guard in, fighting with gremlins.
Dude, that would be amazing.
That's the movie I want to
see. Well, I'm telling you right now, if with as gullible as I am, if I was on a police force and somebody said, we have little monsters attacking the city, I'd be like, let's fucking go, because I would believe it.
We have established if there is one of us that is going to be indoctrinated into a cult, it is definitely you.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that. Like, yeah, we got to go. Gremlins are marching down fucking university. We got to mobilize. We got to go. We have got to go. Shit, let's go. Look, where's my slingshot?
Where's my slingshot? That's totally the weapon I would have.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I'm watching this documentary on the Heaven's Gate cult.
I watched that too.
Oh, okay. Man.
And I totally thought of you.
No, shit. Well, I totally thought of you because I was like, Jack says I would be in the middle of this, but I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. You would be Leote.
Oh, Leote. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It's a great documentary, by the way.
Don't drink that Kool-Aid.
Don't put on those Nikes and get in a bunk bed and kill yourself.
Okay, as your movie guide, your movie guru, trying to just make your life better through cinema,
yeah.
Promise me one thing.
Okay.
If you feel like you are ever being recruited for a cult.
For a cult.
Call me and ask me for my opinion. Yeah, Jack, I met this guy. He had a couple buddies. We had a great conversation about, you know what? This Earth really is bullshit, and we are being like, our bodies are just vehicles. They're holding us back. We need to go to the next plane where we can expand our consciousness. Jack, listen to me. The logic checks out. It checks out. All right, I did the research. They had a very informative website. They gave me some brochures.
They had an amazing PowerPoint.
Incredible PowerPoint. PowerPoint. Jack, you need listen to me. Jack, you're not listening to the facts. When that situation comes up, please talk to me first, okay?
I hate that you think I'm that mad. I hate that you think I'm that dumb.
It has nothing to do with being that dumb. You're just easily swayed.
I know. I mean, Jack, we morph into aliens. That's the only explanation.
But here's a thought that I had during that documentary.
Damn it.
Because they did this really, because the documentary cuts in and out with some animated sequences.
Yeah.
And the one where their bodies are morphing into those alien beings,
mm-hmm.
for like half a second, I thought, well, I mean, what if they were right?
Right?
What if they're currently like chilling out on UFOs right now?
That's the question. What if they were right?
I mean, they're dead fucking wrong.
Right,
like, they're
exactly.
Dead.
Right. They're not like hopping around on the rings of Jupiter and shit. Like, that's not happening.
But what if? I'm not going to join a cult to find out.
No. But no, I wouldn't join a cult either, but I'm like,
You wouldn't, because you're going to call me first.
Right.
And I'm going to deprogram
you. It's like 2020's been a shitty fucking year. If I had to choose, like, I'd be like, well, you know what? Maybe let's hop a comet and see, you know,
let's hop a comet and find
out if I, you know, whatever out in the universe, who fucking cares?
You think, if they joined a cult that worshiped Gizmo, would you join that cult?
I mean, what's the harm in that, right?
Well, you know, 37 dead in a mansion. I don't know.
Famous last words. What's the harm in this?
Right.
You know what? I'll call you first.
I appreciate that. Looking out for you, homie.
Oh, goodness. So I believe this is when we cut to, you know, the gremlins now are getting ready to start wreaking havoc on the town.
They are just mischief machines.
Oh, my God. It's so great.
I love how just instinctually their sole purpose in life is to cause mayhem.
They instinctually know how to do things.
Yeah. We got one gremlin that's like changing the, like messing with the wires on the stoplights
stop
to turn everything green.
Yes.
We got gremlins that are hiding out in mailboxes.
Uh-huh.
Throwing packages back.
And then our poor neighbor, what's his guy, the guy you like?
Mr. Futterman getting his TV
Futterman,
messed with.
And then they know how to drive the hot wire, the plow.
Yep.
And they crash it into the house, and right before the end, he's like, oh my God, it is gremlins!
It's a real gremlin!
It's real, you know? And I love before that, you know, his famous, like, should have bought an American TV.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything. But now just based on that movie alone, you think that, oh, the Futtermans didn't make it. They made it.
I wondered if they did.
And they are in the sequel.
Okay, good.
And, like, the way that they portray Mr. Futterman, like, he gets a much more expanded role in Gremlins 2.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Okay, you like it?
Yep, I love it. I love what they did with Mr. Futterman in that one.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was wondering, because you don't see them at the end, and I didn't know if they made it or not.
They get a call back at the police
that's
station.
That's right,
that
they
sounds,
do, and it is them.
Yeah.
Yeah, or
and
that's
it,
what
there,
I assumed was them.
There was a crash at the Futtermans, and it sounded like the implication is that, no, they didn't make
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, okay, good. I'm glad they made it. The mailboxes, the traffic lights, the plow incident, you know, and of course, you know, then it cut to Billy, you know, he's still at the police station. He's like, why won't you people believe me? And then he shows them Gizmo, which they think is cute. But again, they still don't believe that there's right. a thing such as gremlins, even though they've seen stage one.
Hey, here's this creature that does not exist, that no one has right. ever seen before. You don't think that's a bit suspect?
Why can you not realize that there could be a gremlin if you see this little thing?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So then they get the call. Oh, and I love the whole thing about the one deputy's like, I'll drive. And the sheriff's like, no, you're drunk.
Yeah, right.
Then
a small town law enforcement.
I know. I love it. So then we cut to Mrs. Deagle. Do we get to Mrs. Deagle here?
Yeah. Did we get to the bar or Mrs. Deagle first?
Oh, where they're at the bar?
Yeah.
No, with Deagle's first.
Okay, Deagle's first.
According to my notes, Deagle's first.
Yeah.
I love that she comes down the stairs in a fucking one of those chair things.
Right.
You know, fucking hoity-toity bitch in mm-hmm. her damn moving chair down the steps.
Yeah, and I love that they, you know, portrayed her in the beginning of this movie as, you know, this very well-to-do, almost aristocrat. And you realize she's just a crazy cat lady.
Crazy fucking cat lady. And she's in there with her cat, and she hears this caroling outside. And she's like, I hate carolers, and which I get. And she
yeah, I relate.
Opens the door, and it's the fucking gremlins in goddamn
yes.
Christmas hats and scarves and shit, actually legitimately caroling.
This is my second favorite sequence in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, they got the scarves on, they've got earmuffs,
yes.
they've got little books, like, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. And like, I love how the like a couple of them are actually looking down at
yes!
the book to see the lyrics.
It's so hilarious.
Fucking just like even, you know, 30 years later watching this movie, fucking howled.
Yes,
just
I did
watching
too.
That scene. It's so good.
I did because I didn't know exactly how they were going to be like that, you know, and it's like, you know, they're going to wreak havoc. But then to dress up into costume,
because,
think about it.
Because the first couple times you see the gremlins, I mean, they're legitimately terrifying.
Yes.
They're coming at you in menacing ways.
Right.
You know, like clawing at you and
mm-hmm.
shit. And now they're just singing carols.
Now they're just singing carols. They took the time to dress the fuck up. It murders me.
So good.
So she closes the door. She's freaking out. She gets into her damn Zoom chair. And one of the gremlins had rewired it or whatever.
yeah.
And so it just takes the F off, which seems like a fun ride.
Right.
Until she gets to the top and they zoom her out the damn window.
They fucking yeeted Mrs. Deagle out of the goddamn window.
Yes! Yeet!
Yeet!
You don't use that word much, but when you do,
mm-hmm.
it's fucking at the right time.
And you know if they ever get around to a Gremlins 3, a gremlin is going to say yeet.
Yeet!
And immediately, the gremlins have become the most sympathetic characters in the movie.
Absolutely.
By
I
killing
love them.
This rancid bitch.
I 100% began to love them right
uh-huh.
then. I was like, oh, well, I'm in for these guys.
Yeah. Like, you get hit with the 1-2 punch of like, oh, my God, they're singing Christmas carols. And they just jettisoned this crazy cat lady out the window. I fucking love the gremlins. I want them to win.
Yes. Yes. No, I get it. I totally get it. So she flies out and she's she's in the damn snow. One of the gremlins cuts the brake line to the damn cop car. The poor cops see that happen. Santa's being attacked. Poor, this guy dresses as Santa every year, and the gremlins are just on him. Yeah. They're hanging from the Christmas lights, which I loved. Like, now I want to go and get Christmas lights. I need to hang a gremlin.
Yes. Like,
that's going to be my Christmas decorations next year. You can hear them attacking Rockin' Ricky Rialto over the fucking air. It's so good. And then we get to, this is where we get to the bar.
Now we're at the pub.
Oh my God. I didn't know what I was in for.
This was my favorite sequence of the movie.
So they're at the bar. Poor Kate's trying to, I love that Kate's trying to wait on them.
Right.
She's still like legitimately doing her job. And we just had a conversation about how the shit we've done for our jobs, like when we shouldn't have been at work,
right.
We'd gotten out of hospitals and come to work. Like that's, we were Kate, were we not? Yeah. Just like, oh God, here's these monsters. Well, I guess I'll serve you.
and I've spent enough years in the bar industry. My wife has as well. And I mean, that's a typical Friday night.
Right, exactly.
Once you get some of those fools like hopped up on their cough medicine, I mean, that's a Friday night at certain bars.
It's true. So they're at the bar. They're just rowdy. They're drinking beer. Now they've got more outfits on. They're fucking gambling. They're playing pool. They're damn smoking.
I love how we have Stripe sitting at a table playing poker. They've got like a gremlin in drag dressed up next to him, just hanging on his shoulder. He looks at the, he realizes that the one gremlin has a better hand and just shoots him.
Yes, shoots him. Oh my God. It was so fucking good.
My favorite is, Kate in the confusion of like, what the fuck is going on? She turns to get a drink or whatever and just screams. And there's a gremlin in a trench coat that just flashes her.
Yes.
Got the trench coat, the sunglasses, like, check me out.
It's so good. And one shows up like he's going to rob the place with the fucking ski mask on, too, and the and the gun, you know? Oh.
All of those gremlins, by the way, have been made into action figures.
Really?
There are so many toys of the gremlins, and now even more so, like in 2020, like they're starting to come out with limited edition ones. In fact, they're on the shelves of Targets right now.
Really?
They've got the flasher. They've got the one with the ski mask.
Oh, my God.
So, again, as much as you love your Baby Yoda and you've got your Baby Yoda figurines, I know you're going to start collecting some gremlins now.
I need a gremlin.
Yeah.
I don't know which one to start with, but I need a gremlin.
You just recreate the whole bar scene.
Oh, my God, yes. Okay, well, now I'm going to be out of money for sure. No, that was so, so well done. So brilliant. Well done, I thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great scene.
Great scene.
And again, like we talked about the practical effects of everything.
Yeah.
It just made it so much better. If you did that scene now, you'd have, Phoebe Cates reacting to nothing.
Right.
But I mean, those were props. They were there. Like they were, in front of her. And it definitely, a great sequence in cinema history.
So good. So good. So the way she starts to try to get out of all this mess is she's, flashing the camera, getting the bright light in front of it and all that stuff. And then Billy comes up. He shines his headlights into the bar and that helps her kind of get out. Right. So they get out and now the town is in full destruction. It's full panic. I mean, shit is going down. They eventually get to, I believe they go to the bank. And this is where, this was a weird side note where she talks about her worst Christmas ever.
Because we established earlier in the movie that she doesn't like Christmas. She doesn't celebrate. She didn't really talk about it.
Right. And so now she decides to tell Billy why she doesn't like Christmas, which is her dad was missing for a few days and they searched and searched. And then she went to the fireplace and she smelled a smell. And when they called the people to come, they thought it would pull out a dead animal. No, it was her missing father who had dressed up as Santa and was going to come through the chimney to surprise them. But he broke his neck and he was dead in the damn chimney.
So what were your thoughts on this?
I was like, I laughed.
Okay.
But then I was like, well, this is why I will never not tell someone when I go somewhere. Like, I tell people where I'm going all the time because I'm like, at least they'll know where to find me.
So interesting that you brought this up, because this scene was a point of contention when they made this movie.
Okay.
The studio didn't want it in. They're like, you just take this sharp left turn and turn it into super dark. But then audiences kind of chuckled at it.
Yeah.
Like they kind of laughed at it. Other people were like, oh my God, this poor girl. And then you're like right back into like chaos and mayhem of the gremlins. A very weird scene.
I thought it was going to come back into play. Or something, like, because I was like, well, there must be a reason why this scene was here. Like again, I chuckled, but then I thought it was going to come back, and I don't feel like it did it?
It
just really was out of nowhere.
It does kind of pay off in Gremlins 2.
Okay.
They bring it back a bit. I won't spoil it for you. I'll let you catch on to it. But, a very, like, odd scene.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you got the camera close up on Phoebe Kate, so I'm like, whatever, just go with it.
Whatever she says, it doesn't matter.
Literally every word coming out of her mouth, I'm like, oh yeah, are you okay? Like, how have you been? How I am a total simp for Phoebe Cates.
Simp. We brought it back. Yeah. So we hear about her damn dead dad in the chimney. We should also mention that Billy's dad is trying to make his way back home. He's been at a convention, invention convention where there's all these robots. And I think at one point he had called home and he was like, yeah, this was better than I thought. Like, right. These legit inventions. And he's there with the damn bathroom
things
buddy.
Things that are slightly better than the bathroom buddy.
Yeah.
Did you catch, this was one of my favorite little fun scenes. In the background, they have like the H.G. Wells time machine that people are fucking with. And in one scene, you know, it's like people are on it and they're tinkering with it. And then Rand is back home talking to his wife. The camera cuts back to the wife. They cut back to the convention and the time machine is gone.
No, I didn't see that.
Go back and watch it again. Like, and people are around the time machine like, what? Where did it go?
Oh, shit. I missed it.
Fun little Easter egg for you.
How fucking great. So then the town's a mess. Looks like an apocalypse. And I believe this is where we go to the theater.
Yeah, the gremlins have all converged on the theater. Their quest for yum yums continues. They just want to devour as much junk food as possible. And what better place to do that than a movie theater? Remember movie theaters?
Yeah. Oh, movie theaters. What a thing of the past.
Fond memories.
Aw.
In another 10 years, someone might watch Gremlins for the first time and go, what's this building that they're in?
And they watch it now and they're like, what's that phone that dad's talking on?
Right.
You know?
What's that cord attached to the thing?
What? I'm sorry. What? There's actual buttons? Like, what? They go to the to the movie theater to watch Snow White. And they're like getting the popcorn. You know, the ones getting the popcorn out. And then you open the theater doors and they're literally all in their seats. And they're like throwing popcorn and shit. Just rowdy. Oh, my God. It was hilarious. I fucking love these things.
And then the movie starts up. They're watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
And they're singing along to it.
I love how this scene was framed. There's like that split second, like the dwarves start singing.
Yeah.
And the gremlins are like, wait a minute. This is amazing. All of them in unison, a theater full of gremlins just singing along to Snow White.
And also,
fucking perfection.
Also, more of them still in clothes. And like, you see the clothes, I guess they've stolen from the townspeople, you know, like the sheriff's hat's there and there's all different kinds of stuff. But yes, they're all in unison.
Which, how odd of a small town to have clothes like that that would fit gremlins.
Exactly. I was like, where are they getting these clothes? But they're singing along, and then conveniently Stripe decides that he needs some more candy.
Yep.
So he goes out and there's no more popcorn, but he sees the department store across the way. And so he leaves the theater conveniently because Billy, they go what, underneath and they release the gas or something?
Yeah, they go to the boiler room, they turn the gas on, they light a rag on fire. Mm-hmm, they're so gonna that they blow can them all up.
Blow them all up, and they get caught, they get chased, but luckily it all works out and they blow up the theater. Well, unfortunately they do.
I know.
All the gremlins die except for Stripe.
Except for our leader. He's across the street. He sees the theater go up in flames.
Yeah.
He's like, oh shit.
With his hands full of candy. It was so good. So Stripe survives and they see him. They notice that he had made it into the department store, and so they go after him. But of course, at some point, you know, they kiss because they have to.
Of course.
You know, of course. How much did you want to be Billy?
Like, still to this day. So here is like the ultimate. Oh man.
Oh no.
Like in an interview with Phoebe Cates. So Steven Spielberg, the producer of the movie, you know, when he auditioned the two of them, Billy and Kate, the actors, they had instant chemistry.
Okay.
And Steven Spielberg was like, well, I guess Billy, the character or the actor who played Billy, like laid his head on her shoulder when they were sitting next to each other. Uh-huh. And Steven Spielberg was like, oh, look at that. They're in love with each other. He loves her. Like this is the duo right here. Like you're both in the movie. Mm-hmm. In a later interview, Phoebe Cates said it was like kissing her brother.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Fuck off, Billy. You get nothing.
That sucks.
I know, right?
Oh, man. Well, it wouldn't have been like that if you had been Billy.
You're damn right. We'd still be married to this day.
It would have gotten more than a PG-13 rating.
Mm-hmm. There would have been fucking in this Gremlins movie.
Just nothing but Gremlins and fucking.
Yeah. Just high-fiving a million Gremlins.
That's great. Oh, so... they're in the department store. They need to get Stripe before he finds water. Also, I love that little moment where Stripe's on the damn skateboard with his hands full of candy and he's just going on his skateboard. So they're trying to find lights because everything's dark. Billy goes after him. I like when Stripe gets on the TVs in the department store. You know, he's all on the TVs.
Which was a thing that you could do in the 80s.
Yeah.
That was like a drawing point to electronic sections.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was funny. He, you know, at some point he hides in the stuffed animals, which was really funny and cute. And then it turns because he finds Billy and he shoots him in the arm with an arrow.
A little crossbow action.
Yeah. He's throwing saw blades, which was super terrifying. And, and then he goes after him with a chainsaw.
Which was great. I love that sequence.
Oh my god!
You know, Billy grabs a bat to try to defend himself.
Yeah, to hold him off. Yeah.
But just something awesome about seeing this little sawed off creature with a chainsaw, just coming at you full force.
So it looks like Billy's in a bit of a mess. But in the meantime, I believe Gizmo had scurried off, but then Kate was trying to find the lights.
Yep.
And she finally does. And she gets the lights on. So that Gizmo gets, or not Gizmo, Stripe, you know, kind of gets disoriented. He drops the chainsaw. He gets away from him,
The chainsaw just drags him away.
Just drags him away, which was really funny. Then he finds this part of the department store where the plants are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And there's a big old water fountain that I guess had gotten turned on in the middle of all this, her flipping switches and shit, trying buttons.
We're about to do this all over again.
Because if he gets in the water, that's what's going to happen. And also, he has a gun now. Where'd he get the gun? He found a gun.
I mean, that was, you know, in the 80s, you could just find guns at department stores.
Guns were sold everywhere. They used to sell them at Walmart. and during all this, you see Gizmo. God, I love Gizmo and his little damn toy car.
Yeah.
And he's like scooting through, you know, and the dad makes it back into town and here comes Barney the dog. But anyways, Gizmo goes and he was able to pull this lever where the ceiling retracts, like the, you know, so that they could get the light in there. Yeah, so they could get in the light in there for the plants. It gets Stripe before he's able to procreate
hits him with that sunlight, which we learned earlier in the movie. Sunlight will kill him.
Right.
And holy shit, did it ever.
Oh, he's melting and it's just gross
gruesome.
Awesome. Yes. I would love to see how I'm sure there's a show about it somewhere, but I would love to see how they made that.
There's a lot of behind-the-scenes footage about making this movie.
Yeah.
That when they start showing off the practical effects, it's cool to watch.
It's amazing to hear people talk about that stuff. He melts, but the water is still kind of bubbling then, and then you get one last good jump-out scare of Stripe, and it's just his skeleton, and then it eventually just melts down into a nasty pool of gunk. At first, I was so worried because at first I thought the dog was going to eat it. I thought Barney was going to lick
and then
it,
turn
you know?
Into a gremlin.
I'm like, if they eat their own vomit, they're going to eat that. And then but thank goodness Barney backed away because I thought that's where we were going to go with it.
All right.
But no, it was one last good scare. Gizmo's okay. You know, it looked like he got a little bump, but he's okay. He's going to make it. And everything is better. We get back to, I believe, Billy's house, and the news is saying it's mass hysteria. I don't think they say gremlins, do they?
There's
little green men.
And I thought that was an interesting note, too, because like even the reporter, when he's talking about all the chaos, he's holding his notes, and he's like, and then there's reports of little green men. He says it just dismissively, and it's like, again, motherfucker.
Believe it.
Like, this is what people said. Like, I get that people say stupid shit. But if a whole town is like, man, these fucking gremlins just tore shit up.
It just makes me think of everybody who saw the unicorn say, yeah.
Yeah, the leprechaun.
Yeah, leprechaun. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you bring about a very fair point. Maybe that reporter was right to
right?
dismiss the claims of the residents of Kingston Falls.
So they're watching the news report where they're talking about mass hysteria. And then here comes... not Lopan, but
Mr. Wing,
a very nice gentleman. He shows up to take the Mogwai because, you know, they did not have enough responsibility to be able to take care of it. So he needs to take it back.
Yep.
Which was very sad.
Yeah. Rand says, oh, this is the man that sold me the Mogwai. And he's like, sold. Very interesting choice of words. Throws the money back on the couch. He's like, you stupid Americans. This is why you can't have nice shit.
Yeah.
This is a metaphor for America.
Mm-hmm.
You're a dumb motherfucker. You didn't wear your masks. This is why we're in the situation that we're in. I'm taking the fucking Mogwai back.
Yes.
You have lost your Mogwai privileges, America.
Fucking yes.
Mm-hmm.
Salute to you, Jack Spain.
Tip, thank you.
Tip. So he takes it, and what does he say to Billy at the end, or can you understand it?
Bye,
was the whole
Billy.
Oh, God.
So, like, right in the feels.
Right in the feels. And the dad gives him the smokeless ashtray that he had tried to give to the gas station guy, and that was really sweet. And then, like, it was like, well, maybe when you're old, like, when you're ready. When you're ready.
He will be waiting,
and you can take care of it.
Yep. Mr. Wing walks into the cold December night with Gizmo in tow, and we get the bookend narration from old Rand Pelser.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if you know something maybe goes on with your air conditioning, you hear that little bump in the
machine.
Night, it might be a gremlin.
Yes. So good to end it on.
Like, a round of applause for
round
gremlins?
Round of applause
All
for
right.
gremlins.
All right.
Yes.
Still... a little bit, I can't believe
I know.
This was the first time you've seen Gremlins.
I know. But also, your head's not hurting anymore.
No.
From last week.
No.
Yeah.
Like, the concussion left me. I'm good. I'm good.
Well, hey, we've righted a wrong.
We have righted
a
wrong.
Yep. We've righted a wrong, and I loved it. So that's really good, you know,
that's a
plus.
I'm glad I could expose you to a movie that millions of people have seen. A movie that you, with everything that you love, should have seen.
I know. It's so wild to me. Like you think it's crazy to you, but it's also crazy to me, too. And especially after I watch these movies, and I'm like, where the hell was I this whole time?
Right?
Yeah. No, okay. I get it. I get it. And this is one of those, like, there's lots of movies where I know I've seen bits of, but I've never seen, or maybe I've seen a piece here and a piece here and a piece here, but... this one I had never seen anything from.
Wow.
To be as popular as it is, I had never, that I remember, have seen a scene or really a big parody of it, like nothing.
Huh.
Yeah. And I
Unreal.
Did not know what was going to happen.
All
other
right.
than the basic, you know, they create a gremlin, you mm-hmm. know, I didn't know anything that was going to happen.
Man, and I've mentioned it before on the podcast, there are certain things, like, I would love to be able to see Gremlins again for the first time.
Right?
And you got to see Gremlins for the first time.
I know. I loved it.
Oh,
and again,
man.
Every time I watch these movies, I do feel like a kid watching it for the first time.
That's,
you know?
That's awesome. Now, I'm you know, as we've established, I love movies.
Mm-hmm.
I love to read about the making of movies. I like to know the behind-the-scenes stuff. So also in movies when they film on a set, you can kind of tell. Like, you could tell that they didn't actually film in a town.
Right.
It's a set. The set that they filmed Gremlins on was the same set from Back to the Future, like that Hill Valley little town square. Yep. They've actually used that in a ton of movies. And I've been to that set. Like, it's on the back lot of Hollywood, Universal Studios Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Rachel and I were able to take the VIP tour. We, you know, we would have been able to get on the Hill Valley set, but they were filming a movie that day. So it was like close. So we just got to like peek around the corner.
Uh-huh.
But now that I've been there and I've seen it and like, you know how it works, whenever that's in a movie now, I'm like, that's Hill Valley.
How funny.
That's, you know, so Kingston Falls to me is still Hill Valley.
Hill Valley.
It's just Hill Valley in the winter.
Right.
And it like, it doesn't necessarily take me out of the movie, but I'm just like, oh, that's fucking
cool. You see
it. I've been there.
Yeah. Yep.
I've ran down that street. There was a sequence in the Captain America movie that they filmed on that back lot where, and I know you've never seen Captain America, but Steve Rogers is like running down the street after a Nazi. And I'm like, I asked our tour guide, I'm like, hey man, can I run down this street just like Steve Rogers did? He's like, yeah man, knock yourself out. So I just went running full clip. The difference between me and Captain America, I was winded as fuck by the time I got to the end of that block.
About to say, how long was it?
Oh man, I am catching no Nazis today. But it was fun being on that set. And like, when you take the VIP tour, it's like you're there with a guide and it's like maybe four other people,
right?
And there's a tram that comes through for everyone else that's not on the VIP tour.
Mm-hmm.
And our tour guide, like, he was super awesome, and he was like, hey man, this tram is coming around the corner. When it approaches, just kind of like put your hand over your face like you're trying to hide your identity and look the other way. And I was like, why is he? He's like, trust me.
Oh my God.
And so I did. And like, everyone on the tram was like, who is that? And they just started taking pictures of me, thinking
of
that
course.
I was a celebrity on
of
set, like
course.
Filming a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So like, people have photos of me and they're like, I think this might have been like Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. Like, maybe filming a cameo for like a music video or something. The tour guide didn't tell us, but he was clearly famous.
Oh my God.
He was
that's
with someone.
So good.
Yeah, that was fun.
I love that. I want to know who people thought you were. I want to know all the suggestions, all of the guesses of who you were. And I hope I can meet somebody who has that photo. I saw blankety blank.
Right. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure if you did a deep dive, you could see someone. I was on the tour and I saw this person. No, that's Jack Spade, motherfucker.
Jack Spade.
He is the least famous person on earth.
No.
But it was a great time. Like, and you know, again, just being able to walk around, like, oh, they filmed Gremlins here and they filmed Back to the Future here. Like, so mm-hmm. much history is on that back lot. It was cool to be a part of that and see that.
Well, think of, you know, as we continue this podcast and I get introduced to these movies, one day we need to go, because so then I can understand,
yeah.
you know, now that I've seen the movies and I can understand the history and then go see all this shit.
I would love to. I would love to get to the point when we can travel safely again.
Right.
To do a podcast from Universal Studios, mm-hmm. like, and go over the history, because they walk you through like a warehouse with all the props.
Wow.
And there were props from Gremlins. There was props from E.T.
Mm-hmm.
So many movies all stored within this gigantic warehouse. Like, you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
So like, at the end of the movie when they put the Ark of the Covenant in that giant where it's like that, but with fucking movie props.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, just geeked out all fucking day.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
And we had a great tour guide that was super into it, and he mm-hmm. knew history. He knew things that I didn't know.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, like he's able to like tell me, you know, like bits and pieces of like all this film history. So awesome to be a part of that. But yeah, when we get to the point, we definitely have to go to do something like that. I also think we need to film a podcast from the last Blockbuster on Earth.
Yes!
Which is in Bend, Oregon.
We're coming to Oregon.
We're coming to
I
Oregon,
know people
bitches.
In Oregon.
Do you really?
I do know people in Oregon. I don't know how close they live, but
all right,
we'll see.
Find out. We might
we might have us a place.
Yeah, we're gonna have to reach out to the Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon.
Yeah.
There's a documentary coming out about it.
Okay,
we'll have to watch that too.
Yes,
maybe we'll review that.
Let's review that
from the last Blockbuster.
Okay,
man, we got plans for 2020.
Look at us, man.
Man,
2021.
20. Yeah. Well, we still have plans for 2020 too.
Do we?
We still got a couple episodes
shit, I didn't
left.
Know.
We got. We next week will be our actual kind of Christmas episode.
Uh-huh.
And we're gonna watch another Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
A movie that is again an unconventional Christmas tale. Wanted to get a jump start on it this week with Gremlins. Next week we are gonna be watching a movie that is probably the most dysfunctional Christmas movie of all times. A movie that I love called The Ref.
I don't know anything about it. I feel like you might have talked about it a little bit, but I truly don't really know anything about it.
Do you know who Dennis Leary is?
Yes.
Have you seen him in things?
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen Dennis
Couldn't
Leary?
Couldn't tell you what I
Couldn't
saw of
tell it. You.
I know Dennis Leary.
I know he's a man that exists.
I know Dennis Leary.
And he's said words. And I will watch this
Hold
movie.
On.
you're about to Google Dennis Leary?
I know Dennis Leary. He was in that fire show. I remember that.
He was in the fire. Yes, he was in Rescue
movies,
Me.
Movies and TV shows. I've never seen an Ice Age. I'm out on that. Thomas Crown Affair, never saw it. Here's The Ref. I've never seen The Sandlot.
Oh, you're killing me, Smalls.
No. Demolition Man, no.
Which was a quote from The Sandlot.
Maybe I haven't seen anything.
but you just know who he
but
is.
But I know Dennis Leary.
All right, fair.
Give me that. Give me that, for God's sakes.
I will give you that. So The Ref is, it was a great, great movie. Like, just the darkest of comedies. A very dysfunctional Christmas tale. And I will leave it at that, because I know you don't like going into these movies knowing really anything. But you know who Dennis Leary is.
Yes.
You know he is in this movie. He is perfect in this movie.
Okay.
And I think that this is my favorite Christmas film.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Partially because, like, I don't really care for Christmas.
Okay.
And this movie doesn't care for Christmas either. So next week, we're going to check out Dennis Leary in The Ref. Dennis Leary, again, who Leanne knows who that is.
I've seen him in interviews, apparently.
Apparently.
That's pretty much it.
we're going to get old Lily introduced to Dennis Leary, her first Dennis Leary movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to introduce her to that. We're going to be getting into the Christmas cheer as much as we can muster for 2020.
Should we, like, wear, like, Christmas sweaters? Or
It's 2020. You have to wear an ugly Christmas mask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
Perfect.
So we'll do that. We'll be masked up, socially distant. We'll be in the holiday fucking cheer. Talking about Dennis Leary's The Ref next week on Huntsville Home Video. In the meantime, we would absolutely love it. If you wanted to get a Christmas present for us, you could like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at HSV Home Video. You could subscribe to our podcast. That way, every Monday, that podcast just magically shows up on your iPhone, your Android, your tablet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to scout it out. It's just there, like an early Christmas present to you.
Yeah.
You give an early Christmas present to us. You subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. Let us know how much you like us, or don't.
Right.
I mean, I get...
No, I don't want to know that.
You don't
want to
know
that. I want to continue thinking that I'm a gift upon the world.
I think if one was forced to choose a side,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing 90 to 95% of our listeners going with you.
No.
Yeah.
No, you get this bitch texts all the time.
That's the 5%.
That's the 5%.
That's my 5%.
That's your shitty 5%.
Whoa.
Fuck you.
Well, at least my shitty 5% has seen some fucking movies.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a tad bit true.
But,
I love your shitty 5%.
Well, good deal. Good deal. Now maybe you have the clean sweep at 100.
Yeah.
Maybe you've won them all over.
I hope.
Sorry, Jack. We've known you for a while, but I mean, Leanne is pretty fucking awesome.
You know. She might be led into cults. Yeah.
I loved how you let that hang there. You know.
I just wanted it to sit in.
He's not wrong. I am pretty awesome. Well, if you have nice things to say, for the sake of Lily's feelings,
for our egos and feelings,
for our fragile egos, hit us up with a 5-star review. Hit us up with share our this podcast if you like it. Share it with your friends on the social meds. Yeah, it sounds like shit, doesn't it? When you say it, when you hear it out loud,
yeah,
with your abreeves. Hit us up, and we will be back next week to chat up The Ref. Until then, be ever so kind and rewind.
Yum yums.